You have a Bible, you might like to turn to the book of Ruth. Found that on page 223. I'm going to be referring to a few different places in Ruth. So page 223. For those of you who are visitors, or if you weren't here last month, I preach here once a month. I'm one of the pastor's elders here, and I'm doing a series on the book of Ruth. Now, I'm somewhat assuming that quite a lot of you know the book of Ruth quite well. And if you don't, I'm going to encourage you to read it. Now, last time I said it would be good to read it even if you know it quite well. And I've got a really good illustration of why you need to do that. Because even though I have read the book of Ruth dozens of times, at least five times in all the preparation, at the afternoon Bible study a month ago, I said we didn't know who Ruth was married to. And in chapter 1, it's not clear, but actually in chapter 4, it was Mahlon. So there we go. And the fact that nobody pointed that out to me means that you haven't done as you've been told and read the book of Ruth. So, bits of information. Sometimes you read things and they don't go in, or sometimes they go in and they drop out again, which is why studying the Bible is always a lifetime project. Last time, we thought about the character of Naomi. There are three main characters. There's lots of other characters. There's three main characters: Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And Naomi, we started off with, because she kind of starts and ends the story. But of course, the big character is Ruth. She's the one whom it's named after. And so today I'm going to focus on the character, the person, who is Ruth. And I'm going to just go to one verse, just to start us off. This is Ruth speaking. Then Ruth fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a..." There's a sense of discomfort, a sense of nervousness, there's a sense of not quite knowing what you're supposed to be doing. Missionaries that go to other countries, they often talk about the time it takes to understand the culture. I had a prayer letter from Chris Hawthorne this last week. Some of you will know that. Some of you will know Chris. He used to be the pastor over at St. John's Wood Road, and he's currently in Zambia heading up a Bible college. And not only is he trying to get used to the culture in which he's in, and he says he's worked out some basic things, but actually he's realized he's made quite a few mistakes as well. He's also got to try and help Zambian trainee pastors to understand the scriptures from a chap who has a different cultural background. So Chris has to try and sort of, you know, undo his cultural background to make sure he's really just getting to the heart of what the scriptures say. And then those pastors have to take, if you like, the culture of the scriptures and translate that in a way that is really meaningful and helpful to the people under their care. So, being an outsider, being a foreigner, the good old translation call people aliens in the scriptures. It's a slightly strange thought for us now, isn't it? But, you know, perhaps that just sort of gives the idea of something that's a bit uncomfortable. Now, Ruth, it has to be said, she was being made very welcome, as we'll see, but it must be hard for her. Thing is, she wasn't just any old foreigner. She was from Moab. Just to remind you of the story very quickly, Elimelech, Naomi, there's a famine in Israel, so they go to Moab with their two boys. Elimelech and the two boys die, and Naomi has to come back. To go to Moab, probably the fact that they went there tells you that the two countries were at relative peace at this point. to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. This is covenant, promise, vow, if you like. This is serious business. This isn't just a nice person loyal to another person. This isn't just a nice person loyal to another person, you know, conveniently changing God so it's not too difficult in the place that she's about to go to. This is someone who has somehow understood that the God of Israel is Lord, and before whom she can make a promise that she knows she will be held to. A pledge of loyalty and love. Just think of other people who make similar pledges. The children downstairs are doing Joshua today, I think. And Joshua, at the end of that book, he says, you know, he says to the people of Israel, you know, you choose today what you're going to do. As for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. Very similar idea. Pledge of loyalty and love. Andrew's preaching on Peter on other Sundays, and I know last Sunday afternoon, even though I wasn't here, he did a sort of bit of a sort of life story of Peter, and this is a much, much faster life story of Peter. But Peter's an interesting character, isn't he? You know, Jesus says, "Follow," up he gets and follows. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" "You are the Christ." Jesus says, "The Christ has to go to the cross." "No, you're not," says Peter. Very strange incident. So he had this sort of, "Oh yes, I will follow, maybe, with conditions." Peter then declares on another occasion, "Even if everybody else deserts you, I won't." And Jesus says, "Actually, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me." And that happens. And then you go all the way to the end of John's Gospel, and you have that fantastic restoration incident, where Jesus pushes in to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter says in the end, "Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus says, "Follow. Follow me to a lifetime of service. Follow me to old age. Follow me to a horrible death." That's what Jesus prophesies for Peter, and that's what Peter does. A pledge of loyalty and love. That's what, at some point, is being presented to us. I suspect it's not the first time for anyone in this room, but at some point that was presented to us. Will you follow me? Can I just make a very specific application here, just for a moment? Possibly to some of the younger people, possibly to anyone who's here because of another half, husband or wife, possibly to anyone who just comes because of friendship. You come because you like the people here. In that little expression of Ruth's faith, she sort of, you know, "Yes, I will follow you. I will be with you. I will join in with what you do. I will even follow your God." It's a great thing to do. "Mum and Dad, I'll follow your God." Of course, sometimes people say, "No, Mum and Dad, I don't want to follow your God." But, you know, maybe you're not like that. You're here this morning, so probably that's not how you're feeling. But you need to sort of peel that back. Yes, I'm here because of Mum and Dad. Yes, I'm here because I believe in their God. Of course I do. It's obvious. But have I ever pledged myself to the Lord, whose name is Jesus? A pledge of loyalty and love. I will follow you. That's just one aspect of faith. If you go to the New Testament words, I guess if you don't like the idea of loyalty and love, maybe just the idea of faithfulness. I will be faithful to you. I will pledge my faithfulness to you. I'll pledge my faith to you. It's that sort of idea. But faith is a very rich concept. In one sense, it's very simple. In another sense, it's wonderfully rich. And I want to come now to the answer that Boaz specifically gives. verse 11 of chapter 2. Okay, remember the question, why have I found favour that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. First part of the answer, you've done lovely, loving, kind things for my family. And that's just true. That's just what Ruth has done. She's followed Naomi. She stood by Naomi even when Naomi was really, really sad. She's gone out into a field and she's done what we call gleaning, which in those days you were allowed to sort of take bits from around the field just so that the poor in Israel would not starve. And she's worked hard at that. And the favour that Boaz shows her is to say, well, work in my field, and I'll make sure that nobody harasses you. In fact, take some water and have some food as well. So it's a very sort of basic, sort of human first part of the answer. He goes on. It's that Lord word again, isn't it? Verse 12. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. The second and more important part of the answer that Boaz gives is it's because of the Lord. You are blessed by the Lord. Now, I guess you have to sort of ring a slight bell of, don't get the wrong idea. Boaz is not saying, work hard in the fields, be nice to someone, and the Lord will reward you. End of story. That's not how he would have thought as someone who is under the covenant of the Lord. Because this is an Israelite who knows that the rescue, the grace comes first, and the laws follow. It's the whole idea of, you know, everything that happened at out of Egypt and Passover and all of that. It's the Lord acting first. What he is saying about Ruth's faith is this, and this is the second category of faith, category of faith, the second definition of faith, the second aspect of faith, not in contradiction with anything else I've said. You have taken refuge under the Lord. It's a beautiful picture of young birds coming under their mother's wing. Be that chickens, or, you know, you've seen the nature programs, and everyone goes, oh, it's country file, and they're the little chicks, and the mum goes in, and they're kept safe. It's a beautiful picture. And Boaz has said, you know what? Everything that has happened to you is because of the Lord. You have taken refuge in him. Almost even if she doesn't even quite realize it. Coming back with Naomi, that was the Lord. Sticking with Naomi, that was the Lord. Accidentally, I use that word carefully, coming into the field that happened to belong to Boaz, who, he's a great guy, we'll find out next time, a real good guy in Israel, when there probably weren't that many good guys around in Israel, who just happened to come into his field. He just happens to be a good guy. He just happens to be that the laws of Israel allow people to glean. The laws of Israel also say that the stranger, the foreigner, should be treated with respect. This is the Lord's way. And you have taken refuge. Again, let me take you to the New Testament to think about what that looks like. Just think about what the Lord Jesus says. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. come and rest in me. That's what it is to be a Christian. It is to come with empty hands. It's to come with nothing.